My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Facebook announces an ambitious new global currency. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Banking and money haven't really been shaken up by technology yet. But with its announcement today of a new global cryptocurrency expected to launch next year, Facebook wants to change all that. It's called the Libra, and Dr. Garrick Heilman, head of research at cryptocurrency company Blockchain, has been dissecting the details released just an hour ago.
What Facebook is doing is creating a new network, if you will, payment rails or train tracks, and a new train car, a new currency that will ride on top of those rails. And that's how it's really different than what we've seen before.
So unlike Bitcoin, though, the most famous cryptocurrency, this one is supposed to be backed by real assets and managed by a foundation that includes companies like eBay, MasterCard, Visa, Uber. What's the idea there?
So the way Facebook has structured this is similar to other stable coins, as we call them, which are very different to Bitcoin. They have U.S. dollars or treasury bonds backing them to try to stabilize the exchange rate, where Bitcoin has no backing assets and is much more volatile than something like this.
And what about the companies that are involved? What role will they play in trying to manage this currency?
So the companies like Visa and Uber are going to be running the computing infrastructure that powers the network. And it sounds like they're also going to be allowing Libra users to pay for services. So, for example, maybe an Uber ride with the currency. In return, they're going to get profits from running the network.
So that's my next question. Why would Facebook want to do this? And why would you or I or any other user around the world want to use this currency?
So Facebook announced previously a big shift to supporting privacy, and this does appear to support things like private addresses and decentralization. But there's obviously a financial agenda here as well. It sounds like there'll be interest that's earned on the reserve assets that are held in banks. There may be a transaction fee, so it's not going to be completely free to use.
What about regulation? I mean, Facebook has more than 2 billion users around the world. Clearly, they want to pitch this to a lot of those users, but will this still have to go through various governments and be approved before it can launch?
I believe it will. Other stablecoins have required regulatory approval. The New York Department of Financial Services actually approved 2 stablecoins late last year. Typically, with payments companies, you have to get like local permission from banks, from regulators. And I think central banks and other regulators will be especially interested in something as big as Facebook's new currency.
I mean, if this succeeds, what is potentially the significance of it?
So many people think that sending money should be as easy as sending an email, fast, free. And I think this is a step in that direction. Today, it's really costly to send money overseas. We all want to, I think, move to a world where especially people who are on the economic margins aren't penalized by high rates for moving money.
Garrick Heilman there. Let's do the numbers. Hong Kong stocks closed up 1%, building on yesterday's gains. Traders are looking ahead to a crucial meeting of the U.S. Federal Reserve. Meanwhile, German bond yields hit a new record low after European Central Bank Chief Mario Draghi said the bank will provide more stimulus if inflation doesn't pick up. The future is electric, and in Berlin today, electric car manufacturers are discussing how to scale up production. Many cities like London, battling air pollution, are installing charging points to encourage electric car use. But in rural areas, there's a lack of that infrastructure. So what's the solution to this two-speed electric economy? The BBC's Claire Williamson reports.
Electric cars currently account for just 2% of the global market. That's set to grow as governments around the world set tougher emissions targets. Big cities like London are driving that change. A new look London task force just launched is looking at boosting charging infrastructure. Christina Calderato, the head of transport strategy and planning for Transport for London, explains that London's infrastructure is the blueprint for the whole country.
We obviously have a focus on London and London becoming a zero carbon city in 2050. What we need to do is work with all those private providers to make sure that this doesn't stop at London's borders. We're looking at introducing, for example, 5 rapid charging hubs in London, which means that commercial fleets will be able to come in. They're obviously going to need to have charging infrastructure beyond London, and that's why it's really important for us to work with the private sector to ensure that this is all kind of brought together and delivers what people need.
Another barrier is the lack of a one-size-fits-all solution. What charges a Tesla may not work on a BMW. Jeremy Yap, head of flexible energy at BEMA, the trade association for electric technical manufacturers, says this leaves governments and companies reluctant to invest.
One of the specific barriers to investment and to innovation is the risk that working infrastructure becomes obsolete before the end of its life. So you have a situation where a working piece of kit needs to be taken off the wall and thrown away and replaced because something else has changed.
Range anxiety for drivers is another issue, but solutions are in the pipeline. Stephen Richardson, director of British company Connected Curb, has designed a charging system he says is future-proof.
We put our technology in the ground, so this charging point you see here today will be obsolete probably in 4 or 5 years' time, but it doesn't matter. We just remove that and we put the updated charging point on it. So our solution is very much about future-proofing in a way that you don't have to dig these streets up again.
Globally, China leads the world in the number of electric car sales, with the US in third place behind Europe. California accounts for almost half of all American sales. So as manufacturers tackle the technology and cities and private businesses invest in more charging points, electric cars are expected to grow from 2% of the car market now to 30% globally by 2025. In London, I'm the BBC's Claire Williamson for Marketplace.
Finally, Berlin votes today on whether or not to freeze residential rental rates for the next 5 years. The decision is being watched right across the country, where there's a growing backlash over unaffordable rental costs. Landlords, you can imagine, though, aren't too happy about it. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Follow us on Twitter at BBC Anu Anand.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.